the name of another doctor to add to the infamous list of people who stand up for truth, reason, logic, justice, service to humankind, dedicated to their oaths of office. We talk a lot about the police and peace officers, myself being a former one, that you have to stand up for what you believe in spite of great overwhelming pressure to do the opposite. And that's the cut and muster. An old police chief a long time ago from a neighboring community that I was very fond of, and he was very fond of me, told me that at a training course once. It takes a lot of courage to be a peace officer. Not the courage to face danger, the courage to do what is right, knowing you're going to catch a lot of heck from it. That's the courage. His name was Jim Harding. He was the chief of Halton Regional Police a long time ago. And he was a former SAS commando and just all-round good guy. He's just one of those kind of people that were an art form in his trade. And now we see the medical profession is being attacked without mercy by large corporations, political pressure to support a narrative that to all intents and purposes has to be an error, because you wouldn't have to use tactics like that if it was true and reasonable and well thought out. And to tell people who are highly trained, highly experienced, terribly sophisticated, to do something that is completely untoward and goes against anything they've ever been taught before is archaic. On the break, I was mentioning to our guest, Dr. Mark Trozzi, that one of my favorite historical doctors in Canada is Dr. Jacob Markowitz, who was the real doctor at the bridge over the River Kwai. He was a specialist in jungle medicine, graduate of University of Toronto, and he went through hell there to stand up for his profession, his oath, to do surgeries under conditions that would be diabolical, to try to work without anything at your fingertips unless you could make it yourself. And he was a specialist at improvising surgical tools from bamboo. So these guys couldn't have found a better doctor to be in prison with. And how they had to live through that. And then to come to the modern era, where we're in a modern era, and we can't use the tools that have been around us for a long time, and many of them are drugs, that they go down the memory hole and become some Orwellian mass destruction implement, and we just allow people to die. As I said in the first part of the show, about the old days when we didn't have antibiotics, people got minor wounds and died from it, like President Coolidge's son got a staph infection and passed away from a blister on his toe. We take that for granted now. Something goes wrong, we got a doctor, we got antibiotics. Something's gone wrong, we go to the doctor, we can't have antibiotics, they're no good anymore. What? What in Sam Hill is going on? Welcome, Dr. Trozzi. What in Sam Hill is going on? And thank you for coming here and sharing your time with us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, George. I guess my short answer to the question, what in the hell is going on, is what I've been calling for a while, after lots of study, the criminal COVID enterprise. And we're seeing massive corruption of the medical system. We're seeing big pharma involved in essentially a genocide program. And the mass is being deceived into their own demise through propaganda like we've probably never seen before, censorship like we've never seen before, and the oppression of science, such that doctors who wish to continue to research and study and talk and speak openly and share our conclusions rather than parrot the lines we're given by Big Pharma and by the government operatives that they seem to run, we're demonized. But that's not going to stop us from being real and being honest and doing our job, which should be protecting human life and health.
Oh, indeed, indeed. For a moment, I couldn't even see that I could know the answer to something, and someone could tell me not to do it, and I wouldn't do it for whatever reason, and allow someone to die or be injured. And I've had to make life and death decisions before, even under threat of my own life, or profession, or this or that. And I always choose to do what's right, not what's convenient. And that always made me a heretic. But even here in media, it's the same thing. There are certain things that are right, and I just won't come out and run a spin machine for a political power, a corporation, or anything of that nature. It's about the truth. Joyce Riley, the founder of this radio station, made that very clear. It's all about the truth. And if the day comes that, I can't provide the truth, I'll just fold my tent and go away somewhere. I'd rather take my lumps. And, we admire you for having that kind of courage. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because most of the show is going to places where people haven't heard of where you work. And what do you do in medicine that made you come to realize these errors?
So, I've been an emergency doctor in Ontario, Canada for more than 25 years. And I've been an advanced critical resuscitation instructor. I've taught at a few universities. That's kind of been my career. I guess somewhat uneventful. I've always tried to be very attentive and loving and truthful and, just do unto others as I would wish to have done unto me, and to stick to the Hippocratic Oath of not hurting people and putting a lot of thought into things and being honest. So that was my life for the last 25 years. I'm a big nature lover, and so I've practiced a lot of emergency medicine in rural areas as well. So I'm often the only doctor in the hospital. So that's sort of my background. And if we spin forward to the beginning of the COVID enterprise, of course, at the beginning, I was a bit like everyone, news coming out of China, which we now understand is very strategic theatrics, staged after very intentionally spreading the virus. But at the beginning, of course, I was involved in many meetings. How are we going to respond to this? Like everyone else, I was, doing lots of extra personal protective equipment, and there was an awful lot of things we were learning which really limited our ability to save lives from normal things. There was such fear of people's airways, and in a critical resuscitation situation, we have, our mantra is ABC in that order, which means the number one thing you need to be alive is an airway, and the number two is breathing, and the number three is circulation. And so doing things that slow down getting an airway, or establishing an airway, or keeping a patient breathing, those cost lives. And that was very early on. I saw an awful lot of mandates coming in, about this sort of state-sanctioned germophobia that we've all become part of. And that was concerning to me. And then, of course, I started to researching almost around the clock when I wasn't at work. And fairly early on, I realized that hydroxychloroquine and zinc were potentially very useful in treatment, maybe not as powerful as ivermectin, but still very useful. I was shocked when I brought that to one of my emergency department group meetings, which now were all Zoom meetings, right, because no one can touch or be near each other. And I was amazed at how it was brushed off. I said, look, guys, it looks like hydroxychloroquine is an effective treatment. If we see this, here's the physiology of it. And I've made a video and an article explaining that. But I was amazed. It was brushed aside. Someone said, oh, sorry, I got a Twitter feed. It doesn't work. That turned out to be based on a Lancet article, which, to our surprise, as you mentioned, things have been corrupted so much that even the Lancet was now involved in publishing an article that, though they later retracted it because it was unfounded, that article was suppressing the investigation of other treatments. So fairly early on, it began to seem ridiculous. The prediction models that totally discredited Ferguson fellow made, that predicted, millions dying, and that this was a super fatal disease that they had made. Those models just weren't holding together. We could see fairly quickly that we had a disease that, like other coronaviruses, is one of something in the family of a cold, and that, very old or very weak or have other advanced diseases that that they can die from these things. But we also saw that just taking proper care of our immune systems was really the best advice anyone could have given us. And yet I've never seen a government spend 30 cents telling people about fresh air and exercise and proper nutrition and rest and all the foundations of a good immune system. With rare exceptions, governments haven't even given people vitamin D, which does indeed help with this. And instead, they've corralled us into lockdowns, destroying our economy, destroying our culture. They've got us wearing masks that are bad for our health and of no benefit. Our children are being completely messed up. So this became increasingly obvious to me. And, you know, in a progression, you know, I progressively became aware of these things as I studied the situation. I also noticed early on that while people were being told that emergency departments were swamped and hospitals were full of people dying of COVID, I actually had the quietest time in my career. I literally have had a very busy 25 years as an emerge doc. And when this started and people were being told in the news that we were buried in people dying of COVID, I literally had entire shifts, like 14-hour shifts, with zero patients, you know? So it became increasingly obvious that things were wrong, that we were being misled. The more I researched it, the more corruption you find, the more I learned about Dr. Tedros, set up by China, a corrupt communist with a very nefarious past, who now is the head of this fake declaration of a state of emergency, which has been used to justify all these authoritarian emergency regimes around the world, including your country and mine. And then I noticed that my opinions and thoughts, which normally we always had good, robust scientific conversations, that I was receiving messages like, it is not our job to question public health. But and actually, it is our job. Our oath is to our patients, not to the government or big pharma or the college that holds our licenses. And the divide between me and my, unfortunately, compliant colleagues, who I've always been very fond of, it became wider. And eventually, by early in 2021, I realized I needed to commit my energy full-time to information. I resigned all my privileges in all the hospitals I work in, rather than having them possibly revoked as the situation got worse. I just resigned, hoping that we resolved this and I could go back to my job someday. I sold my house. I downgraded my family's existence financially so I could commit full-time to research, sharing the results of my research, and supporting activism, and that's my life now.
Well, God bless you for it. I know when they were shouting that propaganda too about the hospitals being overwhelmed. I work in downtown Toronto. I went on a sojourn to, you know, five of the biggest hospitals, and they were tantamount to empty. They had a tent outside Women's College Hospital, and I wish I took a video camera as opposed to a still frame camera. And it was just flapping in the wind. There's no one in it. No one to receive anyone and no one there. And at the same time on the TV news, you know, they try to say we're in the midst of this great crisis. And I'm going, well, where are the other patients? Where are the, you know, there has to be coronaries. There has to be emergencies, falls, accidents. You know, there were no ambulances coming to the hospitals. They were like ghost towns. And it was chilling in a way. It really was, because usually the hospital
and, you know,
was a bed.
That's a very important point you make, because while the news that there was tons of people dying of COVID was pretty much fake, at the same time, many hospital services were shut down. Plus, people were afraid to go to the hospital because it was full of people who were spreading this, you know, this so-called Ebola-type disease, which didn't exist. And so you had people actually dying that needed treatment. Cancer treatments were deferred. People, you know, they may have had stage one, stage two cancer. They just stayed home until they had stage four cancer. So lots of people went without treatment, And then, of course, as we know, and I suspect your audience is already aware of this, that deaths around the world have been this incredible criminal COVID enterprise that's manipulated so much, has manipulated the reporting of deaths. And so people have a heart attack and they say, well, he died of COVID. Even motorcycle accident. Well, actually, COVID. So they've been able, through their completely fraudulent test, the PCR test, they've been able to claim that all these completely healthy people have cases of COVID, so they can go on the radio and say, oh, we have thousands of cases, be afraid, be very afraid. And as well, people that die of almost anything can be mislabeled or mislabeled as, oh, having died of COVID, so they can also say lots of people are dying of COVID. This is keeping the masses in constant fear, which is also reducing their intelligence, because fear reduces our intelligence, and it's making them even more vulnerable to the propaganda and much less likely to do some research and really use their critical reasoning to try to figure out who's lying to them and who's telling them the truth.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I've been a volunteer canary in the coal mine all through this, because I claim a health exemption for not wearing a mask at work. And, you know, I'm in touch with people, especially at the beginning when the propaganda machine was going full tilt. I was meeting people from northern Italy. It was Chinese New Year. People were coming from China. And all the alleged hot spots of the world, and, you know, there was no social distancing then, we're fingertip close, and all that sort of thing. I go, well, this is real. With my pre-existing health conditions, I shouldn't be here. So what are you worried about? But, of course, you know, I do a lot more to supplement my diet with vitamins and nutrients that are essential to keeping your immune system top-notch through this crisis, because it's like anything. Usually when it hits the fan, you're on your own. And, you know, I pretty much expected that in life. And so I've taken the time to learn about what some of these things are from God's good earth and what vitamins we need to stock up my inventory, because I can't depend now on getting proper treatment at a hospital or from a doctor, because they're following the narrative. And you would be one of the few, like a few others. I think in Ontario there was 568 physicians going against the society that controls your license to say that they're not going to knuckle under about telling the truth or dealing with science. And that's a small minority. They exist. But the odds are that if something happened, I wouldn't run into one of those. And what are they going to do? It's like person I heard on this station on another show discuss, you know, go home till your lips turn blue and then come to the hospital. Wait a minute.
Yes.
There's got to be something in between.
Yes, it's so true. And these organizations, including the licensing bodies, I mean, they are accomplices to the crime of this whole thing, because it is a criminal enterprise. It's completely violating the Nuremberg Code, means it's all a crime against humanity. And to boot, you know, they suppressed things like ivermectin, you know. So you know, in countries where ivermectin was available, or where there were actually, believe it or not, a few governments in the world that actually helped their people. I know that sounds surprising in this day and age, but regions in Brazil and Peru where they looked at early research that this, you know, normally an anti-parasite medicine, but which, you know, means, you know, worms and intestinal worms, stuff like that, but a very safe old medicine, very safe, almost like safe on the level of aspirin, but that this could be used as a prevention with way better safety and way more efficacy than these so-called vaccines, which are not vaccines. And it could be used for prevention, and it can also be used for treatment. Very effective. I've been in touch with a few people who actually have contracted COVID and been in that rare group of people, because most people with COVID, it's a mild or minimally symptomatic illness. But And really, like, we're talking a couple of pills. Like, the treatment with ivermectin for the rare person that actually needs it. Because, again, most people do not need anything except a healthy immune system. But, you know, it's one pill a day for 2 to 5 days, a maximum of 5 days. And most people on about the second day go, well, I feel better, so I'll stop the medicine. So here we had a very cheap, effective treatment that could have saved many of the lives of there were people that did die of COVID. As there were people that died of influenza, although they're all now classified as COVID, but that's another matter. So these licensing bodies that were involved, like these governments, in obstructing doctors from giving a life-saving treatment to people with COVID, they are criminals. Now, will they get away with it? Are we going into some kind of a dark age? I don't know, but I'm certainly not going to be a part of it, like yourself, George.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I've had to make a lot of gutsy decisions on that, and I have to admire you as being an emergency room physician. Not, you know, I've had very little experience with massive trauma, but on the couple of few instances that I've had to deal with that, is you just got to do what you got to do, and you got to use with what's at hand. You know, because it's not like you can make an appointment. At least when you go to the emergency room, you've got all your toys prepared and waiting. But, you know, for me, it's on the street, and you just got to use what's at hand. So doing nothing was a guarantee to disaster. And just doing what you can do with what you got could save lives. And, you know, I remember a bus accident where a nurse used needle and thread to sew somebody up because she had some on her to seal a wound, because there was nobody around and nobody's going to be around. So you just did what you had to do. And I know my first one was the worst one, and the only thing I had to use for bandages that I needed so many bandages was to use my uniform and just rip it off and start tying people up to stop the bleeding. And, you know, when my backup car got there, they looked at me and looked like I'd been in a chainsaw fight. I was just, you know, because I had arterial bleeders, blood all over the place. I'm stripped to the waist, and I'm just getting to the point as I guess I got to take my pants off, too, because I need more cloth. And, you know, but what am I going to do? Let somebody die? You know, it's like it's way out of my job description to do that, but I'm not going to let them die.
Excellent. Yeah, it's so good when people know, you know, good first aid is a great life-saving skill on the street.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And, you know, that's why we're put here. We're put here to help one another, to work with one another, to cooperate with each other, not to exploit, use, and God only knows what with this agenda. Anyway, we're coming up to a break. Dr. Mark Tozzi will see you on the other side. Thanks for coming out.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial property. properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing the wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest, host from Canada, and joining us in the next segment, Dr. Mark Prosy, a physician of physicians, a man who stands by his word, a man who has something that was very common probably more in the 19th century, honor and loyalty, devotion, things like that, that just seemed to, you know, I imagine there were weasels back then too, but it was something to strive for, was to stand up for what you believe in. And in the United States, a whole bunch of people did that and founded a nation because they stood up for what they believed in. In British history, before you guys were on the block, it was the same thing. There were all sorts of times and eras where people had to stand up to the monarchy and just say, enough's enough. A lawyer contact of mine out west who's retired always has at the bottom of his emails, you know, about the Magna Carta. How many years since the Magna Carta? Because that kind of got the ball rolling. And they're very big on these things. This is what we stand for. This is our bread and butter, our heart and soul. And we're throwing all that away in a blind panic over something. And as a bit of a person who understands strategy, because I'm interested in history and military tactics and things like that, you know, I see that right away as a play. And I understand exactly what it's for. And that's why I've described to you many of the things that are happening to us today, very similar to like the war in Vietnam, what a jungle war would be like. When you're going to have an ambush, you don't put up a big sign, ambush 50 meters down the trail. You want to lure someone into the place and scare them. And you use some munitions, maybe fire a few rounds, a small bang, and you want them to run into the kill zone. And then you open up on them with all you got and wipe them out. And if you can't see that in this, it's the same thing. You're lured into a place, they scare you, the media scares you, everything's to scare you. Oh, there's this, oh, there's that, oh, there's this, oh, there's that. Run, 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 run to the kill zone. And there's someone waiting there for you with a needle. And they give you that needle. And as I've said on many shows before, talk to you about what the old words in the Bible are, what they really say. Not what we were told they say, not what they've been mistranslated at, or not completely translated at all. I was discussing with Mark on the break about the magical, mystical Adam, Adam Hachadash, whose job it is to slay us all the image of Christ. We're to be slain. And in the part that we got, you're supposed to slay your member, which always confused me. I'm going, you know, I was supposed to cut it off with a knife or something. What's all this about? And when I read it in the old Hebrew, anglicized Hebrew, then it made perfect sense. Who's slaying and what's getting slain? Our species, not our sex drive. And somebody decided not to tell us that a long time ago, or just didn't understand what was being spoken of. And when we get into the modern era, with the technology we have, that no one understood back then, that we're the scribes. No one could figure this out. What is the Malchut Hashem, the inner kingdom of Hashem? What was this Egypt that I talked about in the first hour? This Masar Eyem, the narrow place between the two heavens. It wasn't Egypt. It's the narrow place between the two heavens we were taken from. And where are they taking us back? Elon Musk says he's taken us into the cloud. And if you have an iPhone, you're a cyborg. I don't think I want to be a cyborg. I kind of like it the way I am. Flesh and blood. Because this is the end of the era, flesh and blood, and the movement into circuits and chips. And people are running headlong into this, and we don't even know if it's going to work, and I don't think it will. I think they jumped the gun too soon. And it's probably going to have devastating consequences. And, you know, I hear of so many people, young people. Somebody sent me like about 100 random pics from the Bears reports of people who died. And, you know, one was a 33-year-old guy in Nevada, healthy as a horse, got the injection, walking down the street, he's gone. You know, just like that. Just like he, you know, was shot down. If only 10% of the people dying from this vaccine got shot with an AR in a public place, there'd be a big hue and cry, I think. But the fact that Big Pharma's doing it with reckless abandon, it's just, give me more, give me more, give me more. I'm offspring of Holocaust survivors. I know the game was taught to me since I was a child. My grandfather made very, very certain that I understood. And I see the same thing, the same lies. A 103-year-old Holocaust survivor said on radio in the United States, we know it because we're looking back after the Americans primarily liberated the camps. Before that, it was a secret. Nobody knew what was going on. How did they get it to happen? It was a disease. They told everybody the Jews had typhus. That's why they had to go into quarantine. That's why they had to be put in the ghetto. That's why they were shunned. You wouldn't want to get near somebody, and you'd let them starve in the street because you didn't want to get typhus. And you get your life back. You get your normality back when you get on the train and you go to Eastern Poland. We got land waiting for you there. And when you get there, you're all sooty and grimy because you're in a cattle car. Just have a shower. And everything goes back to normal. And now we get a needle. And everything goes back to normal. What is normal? It's not that. And at least at Power Hour Nation, we smell the coffee. And we know it's on the stove percolating. And for that, we save lives. And if there's any duty to humanity at all, it's in the fact that we save lives. And maybe a few more than we expected as knowledge increases, because the knowledge is the power. That's what Joyce gave us with this radio program. And that's why I walk in humility under her shadow of what she did. And I wish she was back. It was so easy when she was driving the boat. I just had to sit in the passenger seat. But now it's the other way around. And I'll still drive the boat. So, Mark, tell us a little more about, and maybe tell people about your website, where they can find you online and read about your testimonies and things like that as well.
Sure. Well, thanks, George. Just preamble, like, you know, to everything you just said about these injections. You know, my most recent article that is based on a lot of research, and it's up on my website, and it's called COVID, quote, vaccines, because they're not vaccines. COVID vaccines, how dangerous are they? So what you're saying, George, is actually completely correct. And so from a very, you know, science doctor angle on this elephant, you are not exaggerating in the slightest, sir. People have been corralled with fear to an injection campaign which is meant to do extreme harm and to reduce the population on this planet, and is already beginning to do so. So I have a website which is just called drtrozzi.com, D-R, and then my surname is T-R-O-Z-Z-I, so drtrozzi.com. And I make it my business to research everything and try to explain things to people in a way that does not insult their intelligence at all, but also make it palatable so that, you know, people who aren't medical and all the lingo of medicine can clearly understand things. And my hope behind that is that people who, that portion of people who will use critical reasoning, you know, they can tell who's telling them the truth, because the truth has details, and the details fit, and they all make sense, and they confirm each other. And when you, the more you look and the more you examine, the more it fits. And so that's kind of the mission on that website, drtrozzi.com. And so everything there, from explaining these injections, most recently, I'm just getting ready to make a video, but I put a lot of work in that.
Okay, I heard a beep. Okay, we'll try to get him back. But, you know, we see here, ladies and gentlemen, you know, a true physician, a true healer, a man who took an oath and stands by his oath, who believes in healing, who believes in humanity, and is being vilified for it, with many others, to prevent them from bringing life to you, that an organization, whether it be a hospital, a state, a licensing board, a government, a part of government, the media, are prepared to let you die to expand on their narrative. There can be nothing good in there. And that's why I'm quick to go to the worst-case scenario about what this is. I've said it from last year that this is a genocide. I have no doubts in my mind that this is a genocide, but a slow-motion one. Because if it went too fast, people would know what's happening, and they wouldn't jump on board, and they would probably actively resist. We may come to a tipping point. If this doesn't work the way they expect, and people realize they've been had, and suffer severe effects, or see extravagant deaths from this injection, they will go on some kind of jihad of one sort or another and demand retribution, believe me, because they may feel they have nothing left to live for. If you only got a year or two to go and you know who killed you, it's not going to be happy camper time. And our government, police state, security agency can call you xenophobic or anti-authority till the cows come home. They may very well be among them and will probably act out far worse than John Q. Public, I assure you, because that's generally been the case in history. I'm told by Jeffrey Matt, a frequent guest on the show, that 90% of the Canadian military have taken the shot. And 75% of the inmates, so you're probably better off to be an inmate. But that may change as the days and weeks go by. It is just a horrible state of affairs that we've been plunged into these circumstances. But by and large, we have not been standing on guard. In Canada, our national anthem is "We Stand on Guard for Thee." And standing on guard, well, I understand what that means. Doesn't mean catching a nap at the beach with your feet up. It means actually standing on guard, looking. If we get into a situation where institutions start to fail and we lose social control, standing on guard is something you better be prepared for too, that you have a watchman on the wall to be alert 24/7, to watch out for danger, have a means of communication between yourselves so that one can alert the other and you can form posse, as I like to say. And speaking of which, just for a ray of hope and a ray of sunshine, you know, there's a great individual associated with Power Hour, and, you know, I've known her for a long time, going back to times with Joyce Riley and great crimes that happened at various times through American history. And she is just probably a stellar American, the best that could be made. I don't know if she could sew the American flag in a time of a revolutionary war, but I think she'd be loading the muskets and taking a few shots here and there, Stephanie Sledge. She's accepted a position with the National Sheriff's Association or whatever it is, that you are going to see a real move to take the country back through the office of sheriff right across the country. And this is a complete, total, lawful, and exceptional revolution against the organized criminal networks that rule the world and most of America. And I said that before this crisis happened. It's just an intuition God gave me. You know, sheriffs, form posse, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming like a house on fire. So part of what this is going to do is vet candidates for sheriff to make sure they meet constitutional standards so that voters can choose constitutional sheriffs. And when you get that job as a constitutional sheriff, it's your job to preserve, protect, and defend the American Constitution and the American people and protect them from harm. And that includes the domestic enemies at the top of the list. And when you have thousands of domestic sheriffs totally committed to those goals and those aims, loyal unto God, that will be a tidal wave of change for the good. And I would still say, under these circumstances, in these conditions, to form posse. And if I was a county sheriff, I'd probably want to have at least 10,000 in my posse that can be called up immediately and be in allegiance with all my neighboring counties to defend my state and defend my country. And there'd be nothing they can do to you. The Japanese were afraid to invade just on the thought of the American people. Never mind the thought of American people under the guidance and direction of their sheriff, duly elected, duly appointed to save the republic. It just can't get any better. And wherever you are, whatever you do as an American, you make sure you get involved in having a constitutional sheriff under your flag in your public offices. When I've seen some of them in videos or heard them on the radio, you know, that is the concept of the peace officer. You're part of the system, not part of the system to take apart our system. It's a big difference. And your orders are there to be followed. And they were in these founding documents of the Constitution, the words and directives of the founding fathers, the history and past practice of civility and decency and justice and law and order. And you know what? You don't need force to do that. There's the odd villain that comes along, but most people agree with that. And they think it's proper, decent, and honest. And that makes us all not a hive mind, but a community. Community of community of community right across the nation from sea to sea as God intended it. And that we will not be taken over. We will not be usurped. That's a win-win-win proposition. So I'm glad that people see the way, the means to do these things. Because if we don't do it, nobody can. This is our time. I think they waited. They waited for the World War II generation to be gone because they probably would have done it a lot faster and it may be at bayonet point. But I think they did wait. I always thought that. Because they wouldn't want them to know. But now it's in your hands. You're this generation. There's a new D-Day. We just had an anniversary for D-Day. I think there was one American veteran that could return. He was 97, 98 years old. And then a friend sent me a joke about that with the new BEPAS regimen that they have in Europe. So an American vet goes to France. He's old. He's a little slow at pulling out his papers. And the French customs guy goes, you know, hand him over. And he just wasn't fast enough. So the customs guy puts a little pressure on him, and he says, well, I've been to France before. And then the customs guy goes, well, then you should know all about this. And he goes, nobody asked me for papers the last time. I landed on Omaha Beach on D-Day in 1944. But at least the tyrant was smart enough to keep his mouth shut at that point. I don't think I'd have hassled him like that. But I'd be at least decent enough to shake his hand and say thank you, which is something the tyrant, the diabolical, can never do. And many of you out there have made big sacrifices in this, professional, personal, financial. We are at war. Part of the war is economic warfare, psychological warfare. It is powerful psychological warfare. A lot of people are completely unexpecting and not at all inured to this. So it gets them very, very hard that they can't do what they want to do because they don't know that there's a war on for your mind. If you knew that, well, then you'd resist and you'd get pleasure from resisting like I do. Like Orwell said, even forming a thought against it is defeating the enemy. So form thoughts against it, even if that's all you can do. Or some of the jokes I come up with are you cut holes in your mask, glue dead, I like to glue a whole bunch of dead flies to one and go to a supermarket. Go, yeah, I got my mask on, what's the matter? Why are you all gagging and puking and running away? You know, and just pie in the face them back, show them that you're not intimidated and you're not afraid. It can be done, and that's a very simple, easy war to win. The difficult part is for the financial. Dr. Mark had to compress his life and bugged out because he knew what was coming and how. A wise move. I don't do that because I'm on the front lines. This is an information war. And we need people well able to fight it to be on the front lines. And for whatever reason, God gave me grace to be here before you. I humbly submit to say I will serve people and serve God to pull us out of the abyss, to give us hope, to be like Radio Free Europe, going into occupied territories with a horrible enemy trying to defeat us. And like what I feel is the most important thing is to define that enemy. When we know who the enemy is and we know what it is, what is far bigger than who, then we're far able, better able, to defeat that enemy and understand it and to take whatever it throws at us. That was one of the funny things. He's always teased Todd when we're coming on the show about phone connections and stuff. I always say, you know, I put new odor readers in my shoe phone, and for Get Smart people, they know what I'm talking about, just as a joke. He will get the good doctor a pair of odor readers for his shoe phone for next time. But that's just part of it. And there was always lines in Get Smart where they said, you know, you're going to face this danger, that danger, this danger, that danger, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. And Max's favorite reply over and over again is one you should use. And loving it. And a great Christian woman I knew from New York City always had a great expression, too, for doesn't matter what's coming. Could be a tidal wave, parachutes in the sky from Red China. It just doesn't matter because you walk with faith and you have that in your heart. And her big answer to those were all the time is, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Because we're not afraid. The only weapon they have against you is your fear. And you give it to them. You take the fear back. There's nothing they can do to you. Absolutely nothing. They'll be like Charlie Brown trying to kick that football. Lucy picks it up, flat on your rear end, it's over. And then you just go back to doing what you were doing before. Making fear is making contract with the devil. I mentioned that in an old TV show called The Brujo with David Carradine. He played the role in Kung Fu. Very interesting show. Something to find on YouTube. I think it's you know, if it's not YouTube, it's somewhere on the internet that you can watch it, to see that when they cast spells on you, you give them a contract. By accepting their poison, their negative energy, you're making a contract with the devil. So you give them the power. Take your power back. That's what Power Hour is all about. Keeping your power, sharing it amongst yourselves, that they can never defeat your house. A house divided cannot stand. So don't allow them to divide it with fear. I walk proudly and bravely everywhere I go. I'm not afraid of this germ. And there's a reason for it. I understand God's herbal treatments for all this too. And I use them as a prophylactic just in case. And I'll tell you something else. There's one product on Power Hour Mall that I've raved about a lot, this quercetin. And I found it to be very, very effective as an antihistamine, and I haven't needed antihistamine through the allergy season, which is great because they raise your blood pressure, make you, they, you know, have effects on your head, and you know, they're not the greatest thing in the world, and this stuff is just fantastic. Well, guess what? I went away for a couple of days, and I forgot to take it with me. I go like, Well, we're rolling the dice. Let's see what happens if I don't have it for a couple of days. Nothing. So I missed three pills. Didn't sneeze. Nothing. Because it was probably enough in me for a little while. And that just tells me how effective the things that God made for you are compared to the things that man makes for you. And isn't that great? And you know where to find it. Power Hour Mall. And I can't help but rail about the eye vitamins and how big a difference they made in giving me back my night vision, making things clearer. What do you want? And you support the station? And what do you get? Freedom. Freedom to live. Freedom to prosper. Just like the Founding Fathers said at the very, very beginning. Win-win-win situations, my friend. Till the next time, I'm George Foyne from Canada. We're taking on the forces of darkness here at Power Hour Nation with the power of the spoken word. One evil at a time. Sometimes even multiple evils at a time. Thanks for coming out.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.